Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket and a rather interrupted day again at the Aegeus Bowl, the second day of the second Test match. It's been a summer, actually, weirdly dogged by rain at all the most inopportune moments as far as cricket is concerned. Anyway, I remember actually when it was the first day of cricket after lockdown, the first day of the Test series, that is, and it was rained virtually the whole day, wasn't it? So a classic English summer in some weird way, although 38 degrees as well. So it's been one of those slightly erratic experiences. But actually, in fact, a good day for Pakistan today in the interrupted periods of play, completely against the run of play.
Yeah, I mean, good bowling conditions all day. When Pakistan won the toss yesterday and decided to bat, they were banking on the dryness of the pitch helping them in the fourth innings, but it's been really tricky batting conditions for the 2 days, I say 2 days, the 86 overs we've had over 2 days. The ball has nipped around, there's been a bit of bounce. England haven't used a spin bowler, they've had bowled 86 overs off pace, and it's been a real struggle for Pakistan. I thought Mohammad Rizwan batted superbly to be 60 not out, really fine innings, and just shows what you can do in the conditions. And there was actually a moment before they came off for bad light where he creamed Stuart Broad through the covers gloriously for four, and then of course soon after they came off for bad light. I mean, we don't want to crack on about bad light anymore. We've talked a lot about it in a way, but it is so frustrating, and it seems to me the game of cricket needs to sort the problem out. Otherwise, it's going to, you know, it's going to shoot itself in the foot. All those cliches, you know, it is undermining the game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can put a man on the moon. You can video your friend at the other side of the world instantaneously. I mean, God, so many things you can do, but you can't play cricket when the light fades a little bit. We can't find a pink ball that works. So, yeah, it is a tedious story. And hopefully someone will come up with the answer. But we'll just reflect on the day's play in a minute. But just to say also, Australia was announced today as the tourists in early September for 3 one-day internationals and 3 T20s. You may have seen that announcement, and also the announcement of the Australian squad, including Steve Smith, of course. And I mentioned yesterday's show that we had an exclusive interview with Steve Smith. We're going to play a little bit of that exclusive interview later in this podcast and just reflect on that Australian squad. But just back to the mundanity of today, and it wasn't mundane. And I'll tell you one thing I thought was quite interesting, that a lot of people were speculating when bowlers weren't allowed to put saliva on the ball during this summer of Test cricket, and obviously cricket generally, the balls wouldn't swing. Today, it swung so much that, well, for a start, Josh Butler couldn't lay a glove on it, a few of them, never mind the batsmen.
Yeah, difficult summer for keepers in general, think of West Indies keeper Dyerich had a really tough time of it, and Butler as well has had a hard time of it. And the, one of the things that was happening is the ball was sort of swinging prodigiously after it had gone past the bat. So not an easy day for Josh Butler.
You know, that's called ABS, don't you?
Go on.
ABS used to be something you got on cars, didn't it, to do with braking. But now ABS means after bat swing. And it is a wicketkeeper's nightmare, which I don't really think happens in any other country. I mean, I've never really seen it in, say, New Zealand or South Africa or somewhere like that, where you'd expect you might get some overcast humidity and therefore the ball might swing a lot more. But it doesn't seem to swing and wobble in quite the same way after it's passed the bat as it does in England. And I'm sure that a lot of wicketkeepers around the country listening to this will know the experience and will look at their fingers, their damaged fingers, and think, well, that's the reason.
Yeah, quite a few went a long way after the ball went past the bat. So not an easy day for Josh Butler. And he did drop one catch as well. He's one of those that, as a wicketkeeper, you'd hope to catch it. If you do catch it, it was off Mohammad Rizwan, a short ball. He went to pull it, got a little top edge. He's one of those that, if you're commentating, you say, oh, fine catch. If you drop it, you think, oh, I wonder whether, you know, he could have got there. It was one of those indeterminate ones, really. It would have been a good catch. But I think the form Josh Butler's in, you know, it's one of those he'd love to cling on to just to really boost his confidence. You know, he took the straightforward ones, a couple of straightforward ones today. But you want, a beauty, really, just to lift your confidence after the time he's had behind the stumps. But, it went down. And Rizwan
Rizwan is still there. I did a little event last night, actually, with Alex Stewart, a private event, and I talked to him a bit about Josh Butler, and he said he's done a bit of work with him as well. And in fact, we pulled up a couple of shots of his keeping during this test match, and we both agreed that he does get into some slightly funny positions. And this isn't the medium really to discuss wicket keeping, but it's one of those arts which isn't very often understood. And obviously the likes of Jack Russell and Alex Stewart do understand it. And, he does get his feet into slightly odd positions. In fact, there was a take that I shot yesterday, a screen grab yesterday, where he was going across towards the slips to take a ball outside off stump from the right-hander. And his feet got crossed over, so his left foot was pointing towards slip and his right foot was sort of behind, so that his chest was facing sort of square cover or gully. And I don't feel, and I remember watching Matt Prior doing a lot of workouts in his test career and having these rubber bands like a bungee round his knees, doing lots of shifting from side to side, putting pressure on his calves and his hamstrings and his thighs to build them up so that you can shift easily from side to side, sort of sidestepping, to get to balls which do swing late like that. And I just wonder, interestingly, Alex Stewart said that although Butler is an incredible athlete, and we're certainly not saying that he's a bad keeper at all, he has quite heavy feet, and sometimes he doesn't get into the greatest of positions. But actually, funnily enough, today I thought he did pretty well. The ball was zipping and zagging around in horrible ways and dipping and climbing. God, the number of different heights he took the ball, never mind directions. It was a tough day, and I thought actually, he, apart from one four byes, I think he hardly let anything through. So he actually did pretty well.
Yeah, he took a couple of catches as well to get rid of Babar Azam and Yasir Shah. They were the regulation ones. Babar, I thought, played really skillfully and then got a fine delivery from Stuart Broad. And that is the nature of this pitch, actually. You can be a high-class player, but you get a really good one and it's all over, which actually shows how well Mohammad Rizwan played. I thought England's tactics again, this thing happens so often. The thing about just before lunch, you give the off spinner an over or the left arm spinner an over, and then you get down to 8 wickets down, and there's a player who's reasonably well established at one end, and then you put the field back. And what it does, it has that psychological effect. You're not, in a way, you're not trying to get the batsman out. And so the batsman doesn't feel the pressure in the same way, and you can play with a bit more freedom. And it happens so often. And I'm not being wise after the event, because I actually said it at the time. I hope they try to get Mohammad Rizwan out and don't just push the field back. But he hit one shot, he charged Wokes, hit him for four, and then of course, after that, the field went back, and he's still there. So, and Pakistan have made a little bit of progress today. They're not in a great position in the game, but they have got something on the board to defend. So it's an interesting one, that, you know, what you do as a captain when you get eight down. Do you put the field back? Do you keep it up? Okay, you might concede a few boundaries. You might do, but in hitting over the top, you might miscue. And actually, there was one where Rizwan, they actually even took the new ball as well. That's the other thing. And he had two slips in, no gully, and there was one off the glove of Rizwan that would have looped to a gully fielder. So it is frustrating. You've got the new ball. Why not try to get both batsmen out? And especially a player, you know, he's a number seven. He's a good number seven. There's no doubt about that. But I remember England doing it to Steve Smith at Edgbaston last year, where basically they stopped trying to get him out at one end in the first test. First innings of the first test. You know, he got a big 100. They set the field back, and actually Australia got a decent first inning score in the end. And you know, there are two ways to do it, and captains often go to that, push the field back and sort of wait patiently to get the lesser batsman on strike and hopefully them make a mistake. But you get what you have is that frustration where the lesser batsman often gets a single at the start of the over if you do get them on strike, or you know, the established batsman gets a single off the last ball, you know, quick dab into the offside and they run through for a single. So you know, it's that sort of frustration. You weigh it up as a captain, but I've seen it works, you know, not work so many times. I just wonder whether it's better to be a bit braver.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Bowlers lose their focus as well. Mm. You know, bowling sort of four balls to the guy with the men back. You don't bowl with quite the same venom. You're sort of saving yourself for those two balls against the lower order player. And, you know, the fielders aren't quite as keyed up either. I think you just lose your intensity as a team. You should be. And then often you try and bowl the good ball against the tail ender. And because you've sort of relaxed a bit, you then try a bit too hard against the tail ender. And things go a little bit awry. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. Almost sort of regard. And you know, these guys practice now as well. The tail enders are not as bad, although actually Pakistan have got a couple of, you know, number 11s. But, you know, most tail enders actually can hold a bat now and manipulate the ball a little bit anyway. So you might as well bowl your best ball to both batsmen as much as possible.
Yeah, especially with the new ball as well. I mean, they had the new ball, you know, why not try to utilise it, especially on a pitch where, you know, you can get an established batsman out, as Broad did with Babar Azam. We should note as well the second run-out of the series and the second run-out from Dominic Sibley. England were missing the stumps regularly at Old Trafford, then Sibley produced a run-out to get rid of Asad Shafiq, which actually was a really significant moment in that game because Shafiq was batting well and it opened the way to that lower order of Pakistan, and England were able to roll them over quickly enough and you know, eventually, obviously, they went and won the game. But Pakistan could have had an insurmountable lead. Today, Shaheen Shah Afridi at the non-striker's end came too far down and Sibley ran him out from sort of the gully backward point region with a ball that just flicked off the bail at the non-striker's end. So,
you know, labouring fast bowlers hate those kind of run-outs because you think a number 10, he's mine, and you've been bowling a lot of overs against the top order and going past a bat and not getting wickets, and then you think, well, at least when I get down to the tail, they won't lay a bat on it, I'll be able to knock them over quickly, and suddenly they're run out. That's one of my wickets, a fast bowler will say, when you run a number 10 out. So although England obviously enjoyed it, because any wicket's a good wicket, at the same time, the bowlers are be cursing, actually.
And also, Yoz, the other point about that is just before that, Sam Curran found the outside edge and the ball went low to Root at first slip. And, you know, it was it out, was it not out? And they had to go to the technology. So Sam Curran will feel perhaps a little bit cheated by that he, you know, it wasn't his wicket. Anyway, England took the wicket through the run out and, you know, on we go. And Pakistan are nine down at the close of play. Can we get a result in this game? Yes. I mean, the weather needs to improve, obviously, but we've only had 86 overs in 2 days. You could see a scenario where England try to sort of bat once, Pakistan all out for what they've got at the moment, England perhaps push beyond 300 if they possibly can, and then put pressure on Pakistan in the third innings of the match. That's one scenario. But, you know, the weather needs to play ball. It's not impossible that we could get a positive result in the game, and you know, with this pitch doing a bit for the bowlers, you know, you feel the bowlers are always in it, so you know, we could have a clatter of wickets.
Okay, well, as I said earlier, the Australians announced their squad today for the 3 1-day internationals and T20s to be played in early September. both at the Emirates, Old Trafford, and some at the Aegeus as well. So that's exciting. And always, you know, the rivalry between England and Australia stirs up some old memories and some good duels. The Aussie squad is quite an interesting one, actually. There's some good new young players that are coming out this time that probably a lot of English audience won't have seen before. The likes of Ryan Meredith, a fast bowler, very aggressive, very good at reverse swings, really bowls full, bowls an absolutely brilliant slower ball as well. He's an exciting cricketer who's had a few injuries, but certainly brings the big bash to light. And so does Josh Philippe as well, who's a young wicketkeeper and opening batsman for the Perth Scorchers, plays it at the Wacker and takes on the short bowling, and is a very aggressive player. And actually a very enterprising player too. He's quite exciting. So those two actually particularly worth looking out for. Danny Sams is a left-arm opening bowler and a big hitter as well. And of course the usual names, the Mitchell Starks and Aaron Finch. And of course Steve Smith. Steve Smith is back just under a year after his incredibly dominant summer here in 2019. And I got the chance to interview him a couple of weeks ago. An exclusive interview for the Cricketer magazine. It's out now. You can subscribe to it if you go to www.thecricketer.com, and there's a special offer there actually of the Cricketer for the next 4 month issues. Big 5-page interview with Steve Smith. Lots of quite interesting thoughts, and we just thought we'd play you a little short extract of his interview today. And he talks rather ominously about the things he's been doing during lockdown, particularly running.
Oh, it's been very different, that's for sure. I picked up a bat once about a month ago. I had my first sort of hit back and hit him well. And then I thought, geez, it might be a bit too early to get back into it. So I've put it back on the back burner for a bit, and I'll probably start again next week. But it's been, yeah, very different. Obviously, the world's incredibly different at the moment. Obviously, we just saw the test match, or the first two tests with no crowds over in England, and some good cricket played, but, yeah, incredibly different. But it's been kind of good in a way, just to have a little bit of a break and freshen up again mentally and get some good physical work in. Probably as fit as I've ever been at the moment and as strong as I've ever been. So from that point of view, it's been good. But yeah, I'm ready to get back into it now, that's for sure.
Did I see you done a half marathon or something?
I've done two of them, yeah. It's certainly something I never thought I'd do. But yeah, with a bit of time on our hands, particularly early on in the lockdown, I guess all you could sort of do outside was exercise. So, yeah, just started running and kept on running and got further and further and, yeah, completed a half marathon twice. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
There's a rumour about your guitar playing. Is there some story that you're making a song or something?
I don't know. I have been playing a little bit and getting a bit better, but, yeah, I don't know if there's any songs coming out anytime soon.
Talking of sort of, you know, how you keep in shape and keep practicing, I've got this shot of you somewhere. There was a shot you posted on Instagram, I think, of this one here. Is that in your garage, sort of downstairs, hitting the ball against the wall?
Yeah, it was. I get lots of requests on Instagram to, you know, give some hints and tips and different drills and things, and I just remember that was something that I used to do all the time as a kid, just, you know, watching the ball closely onto the bat, hitting against a wall and just doing that for hours on end. So I thought, why not share it? And, you know, while people are stuck indoors, if they've got the space and are able to do it, you know, all you need is a cricket bat and a tennis ball and you're good to go. So, yeah, plenty of comments on it and plenty of people trying it out, which has been good. So hopefully they're helping out their hand-eye coordination as well. They're, I guess, not able to go out and do what they'd like to be doing outside.
Okay, so Steve Smith certainly has been working hard in his home-built gym and around the streets of Sydney to get into even better shape for his job making runs. He's pretty good at it, isn't he? Maybe he's going to be even better, although it's hard to imagine how. Anyway, as I say, the longer version of that interview will play next week on this podcast. And in the meantime, you can read the interview with him in the Cricketer magazine, which is out now. Okay, we'll hope for better weather at the Aegeus Bowl tomorrow. In the meantime, have a good evening and thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.